And welcome to the Bruins Beat, presented by Prize Picks. I am Evan Marinofsky, alongside the great Johnny Lazarus. Johnny, what is up?
Happy to be here, Evan. Not sure I was ever qualified enough in college to get an interview from you, so I'm happy that I've been able to, post-college career, earn the right to talk to you, so I appreciate you.
Oh, yeah, okay. I mean, I you know, I think you left, so for those who don't know, Johnny played at UMass, then played at Mercyhurst, now doing a number of things with the NHL, Daily Faceoff, Morning Cup of Hockey. You can watch and listen to that every weekday morning. So you were at UMass right before me. I think I came in 2017.
Before you?
I think you, okay. When was your last year at UMass?
I was there 2016-17 and 17-18.
Okay, so I didn't start covering the team until 2019-20 because there was
fair enough.
It was like a backlog of people at the Collegian who were older who got to cover the team before me. So I 17-18 I didn't, but I remember going to those games in 17-18 when you guys had that series against Vermont, which was great. Two UMass guys. There's always BU people on these shows, so it's good to get the UMass taste in here. Frozen Four, we're recording this. I know this isn't a college podcast. You listeners are going to have to sit through us talking college for a second. We're recording between the semifinals and the championship of the Frozen Four. BC and Denver, are you surprised by this championship?
Not at all. And also, just like full transparency, I was covering the Ranger Flower game last night, so I couldn't really watch fully the two games. Okay. I had it on my screen like during. I watched the overtime between Denver and BU, but that was like the most I probably watched. But I think, you know, most people have talked about it and covered it pretty well. Like, it wouldn't have surprised anyone to see any matchup, I think, in the final. I'd say the biggest upset would have been like a Michigan over BC, but Michigan's still a really strong team, so it wouldn't have been like that surprising. But BC, I mean, what can you say about those kids, man? Like, the big guns show up in the semifinal, and they're probably going to show up in the final again. Denver's a tough team to play against, but I mean, BC is probably the best college team I've ever seen play. So,
yes.
You know, at least old enough to remember. But I would be surprised if Denver beats them. But at the same time, Denver's done nothing but win over the past 10 years. So it wouldn't really be that big of a shock, right? Like, these are really good programs going at it.
I think it's BC's year. You hit the nail on the head with best college team I've seen. You know, we're similar ages. I've never seen a college team like that ever. I mean, to have no holes, good defensively, elite goaltending and Fowler.
He gets slept on too because of all the star-studded offense.
He does. And it's funny because I think people who, you know, drop in and kind of just watch a BC game are like, "Oh wait, like who's that in net?" And he's just nasty. And it's funny cuz like last year with Youngstown in the USHL, he carried them to the Clark Cup. So it's no surprise that he's doing the same thing this year, but again, you can't not talk about Will Smith, Ryan Leonard, Gabe Perreault, Cutter Gauthier. I mean, they're just so many dynamic guys up front that really, when they just feel like it, can just turn it on and go. Mm-hmm. I had a youth hockey teammate of Will Smith's text me last night on that goal he scored from the corner. And they were like, "We used to call that the Will Smith because it just shoot from anywhere and it would find a way in the net." And it's funny that he's just doing, you know, he's dominating right now. And I'm with you. I think Denver's a hard team to play against. I had Denver and BC as the national championship.
Oh, you did.
I did. I was one of the only guys around here who was like, who didn't have the BUBC thing. Snaps. I know you gotta find the back for that. You know what's funny though? This is stupid of me. I didn't bet it. I didn't bet it. I don't take
that's
my
that's
own.
Why that's what always happens, you know.
It's exactly what happens. If I bet Denver, BU would have won. But I go back to Denver's a hard team to play against. They played our guys extremely tough, but hey, UMass played pretty damn good. I'll never stop saying that. UMass played a great game in that game. But so I have BC. I assume you have BC as well for the championship. So should be good either way. You know, we do a lot of Bruins talk on this podcast every week, many times. And I want to get an outsider's take on the Bruins, and I want to talk the rest of the league because when the playoffs start, people's attention gets bigger. You know, you start to see the other teams, who the Bruins might play, who your Rangers might play. What's your take on the Bruins?
I mean,
what do
I've
you
actually
see them as?
So, okay. So there's a lot of different avenues we can go down here.
Let's go down them.
Well, people are saying, are the Bruins frauds? And I say, because they're good, doesn't put them in the fraud category. Like, there are good teams that, to me, play a little bit above what they're supposed to do. And if you look at the Bruins roster, they've done that. But based on what their roster is, I don't think they're eligible to be frauds. Like, these aren't guys who are, you know, it's not like a star-studded lineup like Colorado or, you know, maybe like the Rangers. You know, I'm trying to think, the Leafs, like those teams that are built with such star-studded talent, those are the teams that you can call frauds. The teams that are probably supposed to be the best teams in the league that might have some holes that are overshadowed by all their skill or their ability to win. I think Boston, because of their goaltending in Swayman and Ullmark, those two have lifted this team up a ton, as well as a guy like David Pastrnak, who I think should be considered more for the Hart Trophy. You know, we talk about the most valuable player to your team. The last time I looked, Pastrnak had like, what, 105 points or something like that?
Yeah.
I don't know. He's top five,
I think.
Pasta has 107 and Brad Marchand has 66. Like, you're telling me that's not MVP worthy, a guy who has north of 100 points and the guy next on his team isn't even at a point a game? Like, that's pretty goddamn impressive, especially when you talk about a team or a player like Kucherov and McKinnon and what those two guys have done. But they have other guys in the 100 point range, a guy who scored 40 goals and Steven Stamkos, who's bound to get it. And I think there's so much to be said about uplifting your team. And that's what Pastrnak has done. That's what Ullmark and Swayman have done. And I was actually on the Enten Edder show yesterday talking about what the Bruins should do in the playoffs. And we were discussing on if you lean on one guy to carry you to a Stanley Cup, or if you do what's gotten you to this point and rotate the goalies like you've done all year, which is what made you successful this year. And I say, and it's probably going to be a difficult conversation, but I say you start Swayman game one, you start Ullmark game two, no matter what, and then kind of just go from there and do what's gotten you to this point. But you might have a different perspective on that.
No, I don't actually. I agree with you. And I think a lot of people in this area, especially after what happened last year, with that Panthers series where they tried to ride Ullmark and then the wheels started to fall off around game five, I think a lot of people have come around to the idea of, wait a minute, that's what's gotten them to this point. And of course, you know, Swayman and Ullmark both probably want to carry the whole load, you know, as any goalie, as any professional athlete would want to do. But I think at the same time, you know, Linus Ullmark won a Vezina last year in part because they split games. I mean, you know, Jeremy Swayman said, you know, I know he's struggled of late, but he's had a really solid year because they split games. They're not, it's not the typical goalie workload. And you're, you know, for a long time, I know, you know, the Bruins did it with Rask and Halak for a while where they're, you know, it wasn't a rotation, but Halak played a lot more and took the load off Rask. And I think now you sort of have the best of both worlds where you couldn't really use Halak in the playoffs, but you can use both of these guys. And I think the more I see this, I mean, the Bruins' biggest strength by far is their goaltending. You nailed it with, like, the closest after Pastrnak is Marchand with 67 points. You know, they're not a firepower first team. Defensively, they're fine. You know, I mean, I think people expect a little bit more out of Hampus Lindholm at times around here, which I get. And, you know, you're sort of still figuring out what's going to be your third pairing. But goaltending is your that's what's gotten you here. And I think I completely agree with you. I think you rotate them, whether that's Swayman for games one and two, and then you go to Ullmark in games three and four, or what you said, where you just rotate them game one, game two, game three, game four. Like, I'm fine with that. You have that. It's probably the last year you're going to have this rotation. Why would you not do it? So I agree with you there. The fraud conversation is interesting because I remember earlier this year when I had Felger on, the great Michael Felger, we kind of got into this of, are they as good as their record is? And in the first half of the year, I kept being like, no, like, they're not as good as the record is. They're just, you know, overperforming. And then they started to fall back to earth right before Christmas. Then they got really hot after Christmas. And then after the All-Star break, they sort of were struggling a bit. And now they've sort of found their way again. And I don't put them as frauds, but I think, like, and I've talked about this with Connor and Hags. It's very much get to the second round. If you can get to the second round of the playoffs, I think I'm okay with that. Like, considering you lost Bergeron, Krejci, Bertuzzi, Orlov, you lost all these pieces. It's our transitional year. I'm okay with that. Am I wrong to think that? I mean, what's the national perspective on this?
No, I just think the word, you got to be careful with the word fraud. Like, you know, last year I think about the Rangers team, and when you have Kane, Tarasenko, Panarin, Fox, Shesterkin, Kreider, Zibanejad, and you, you know, don't really have a lot of five-on-five success and all that stuff, I think that's where, you know, the word fraud comes into play. Agreed. But if you're telling me a team that has a top two centers of Pavel Zacha and Charlie Coyle, and you can call them frauds, I just don't, I don't think that's what the word really means. I think a fraud is someone who pretends to be this big thing when they're really not. Yes. When Boston isn't necessarily like pretending, they're just playing really well as a team. And I think, you know, another team you can argue about like being in the playoff picture was the Philadelphia Flyers. Like, I don't think anyone would have called them frauds.
No. Oh my God.
They're like the opposite of the word, right? Like, they're, I don't know what the opposite, I don't know what that word would be, but it's,
I don't either.
Yeah. Like, I don't know what that word would be off the top of my head, but like, you know, you look at teams, the typical fraud team right now, I feel like is Toronto. It's just the easiest team to pick because they have so many all-stars. They have such incredible talent, yet they can't put it together. And that's why I think every year they're the easiest team to call that word. But, you know, I think just Boston, if they get to the second round, goaltending, you know, is a big factor in team success. If Bobrovsky doesn't play the way he plays last year, who knows if Florida's even getting where they got. So, you know, I think every team's different. Like, 2 years ago, we saw Colorado get to the cup final with, you know, subpar goaltending, but they had just an unbelievable offensive, you know, juggernaut and then a great blue line. And then I think every team's built differently. But with Boston, I think, you know, the East is as wide open as it could be.
It is. I want to get into the East. I also, I agree with you. The Bruins are not frauds. The Flyers are not frauds. Maple Leafs, frauds. Little bit fraudy. Before we get to that, a quick word from our friends over at Factor Meals. I want to tell you about our friends over at Factor Meals. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up your springtime goals. Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals so you can get back to doing what you love this spring. Looking for gourmet meals? Try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. And we're celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals. So head to factormeals.com/Bruins50 and use code Bruins50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code Bruins50 at factormeals.com/Bruins50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Now, back to the show. So you hit on a really interesting point before we went to Factor Meals there. The East is open. The East is wide open. And for weeks now, it feels like that second spot for the wild card, it's like teams just don't want it. Teams are just handing it off. Just no one's taking shape of it. Right now, obviously, Pittsburgh and the Islanders have sort of kind of risen to the top. Teams like Washington, Philadelphia have kind of gone back down to earth a bit. In your eyes, who are the teams in the East? And you can put the Rangers in this category because I'm curious what you think of the Rangers. Who are the scariest teams?
I think right now, honestly, it's Tampa. I think they're one for me, which is crazy because, you know, the Rangers, Canes, Bruins, Leafs, Panthers, you know, those teams have been at the top all year long, but it's about getting hot at the right time. Tampa has done that. They've been, you know, one of the best, if not the best team in the NHL for the last, I don't know, 6 weeks. And, you know, Kucherov's playing the way he is. Stamkos, again, like I said before, like a 40-goal scorer, essentially. Braden Point, you know, around a 50 goal scorer. Hedman's quietly over a point a game. Duclair has been incredible since they got him at the deadline. Sergachev is skating again. So if they get past the first round, maybe he comes back in. I don't know. And Vasilevsky is Andre Vasilevsky. I mean, Tampa is the team, you know, they've basically been for the last 5 years for the most part. So, you know, I feel like we're always sleeping on them. I do think the Rangers are scary, but I also think they have a lot of flaws, which get overlooked by how many wins they have. You know, these last two games, it's obviously easier to feel negative about them because they haven't scored a 5-on-5 goal in two straight games. They come out very flat in the first period against the Islanders. They dominate, and the power play gets them back in it. Last night against Philly, only one line, the Trocheck line with Panarin and Lafreniere, generates. And I think, you know, the Rangers at 5-on-5, if it's not Trocheck's line, there's a lot of concern. And then defending against the rush, I mean, the Flyers score 4 goals off the rush last night, a team that got smacked 9-3 against the Canadiens like two nights before. There's just little things right now about the Rangers games that are a little concerning, because you want to be at your best, feeling good going into the playoffs. And right now it's just a little bit, you know, not iffy, but not all there like we've seen it this year. So, and then Carolina, I think, you know, same thing as always, right? Like, they have probably the best structure in the NHL, really good coaching. Yes. The goaltending has been great. And then you throw in Jake Gensel and Evgeny Kuznetsov. So, you know, those are probably the three teams I would say are the scariest: Tampa, the Rangers, and Carolina. No discredit to Boston, Florida, Toronto, but like, I don't know. I just think those three teams are a little bit, I guess, have a little bit of an edge.
When I was thinking about this show, I was looking at the Atlantic and the Metro, and you know, the Atlantic has kind of been wrapped up for a while, those top three seeds in mm-hmm. Boston, Florida, and Toronto. And I look at all three, and again, I guess it's maybe because, you know, I know the Bruins well, at least I like to think I know the Bruins well.
Yeah.
And I get the thing, you know, you nitpick and you poke holes in, and it's like when you're scouting, right? And you see someone a lot, you know every flaw, you know every positive. And sometimes I think that you know, impacts, you know, us around Boston's ability to judge the Bruins at times. But I agree with you. I wouldn't put the Bruins in the same category as Carolina or the Rangers. Tampa's an interesting case, because mm-hmm. I agree with you. They're really hot. They are hot. They have it going on. They scare me 100%. Right now, the Bruins would play Tampa if the playoffs started today, and that's most likely what's going to happen. But I think the way the conference, the 1-8, I think Boston would still, at 3, would still play Tampa at 6. So you can't complain about the format at this point.
I think, yeah.
Carolina has the tiebreaker with Boston. At least they did a couple days ago. I have a tough time, though. This is where I guess my Bruins glasses come on. I have mm-hmm. a tough time thinking the Bruins are out in round one. And I agree with you. Against Tampa, like, they're Tampa. Vasilevsky is steaming right now, 100%. But I just have a tough time thinking the Bruins can't find a way past that. Bruins have had some success against the Lightning in the regular season. And I know Tampa got bounced last year in the first round. That's the other thing, is they lost to Toronto last year. But I don't know. I would agree with you. I would put Tampa in the New York and Carolina category if the Bruins weren't playing them in the first round. But I just have a tough time thinking Tampa, you know, that Boston doesn't get past that in that first round. I think this is where my Bruins goggles come on.
I mean, if it makes you feel any better, if you're asking me right now, Tampa versus anyone in the East first round series, I'm picking Tampa Bay. I don't care if it's the Rangers. I don't care if it's the Hurricanes. I think right now, with how the teams are playing, Tampa Bay has been the best and most consistent team as of late. And part of that is their special teams. I'm pretty sure their power play is north of 30, and their PK is north of 90 in like the last 15 games or so. They're scoring north of 3. They're allowing less than 3. Like, they're hitting in every single category. And nobody is stopping Kucherov. Like, it's very hard to look at this team, and maybe it's because of the standings. And remember, Vasilevsky missed the first 2 months of the season. But for whatever reason, and I don't know why, they're never the sexy pick, but they always find a way to win. Always. And, you know, again, it's nothing against the Bruins or any other team. It's all credit to what they do in Tampa Bay.
I agree with you. They're not the sexy pick. They're not, because they've been around. It's like the New England.
It's an
Patriots,
old story. Yeah.
Yeah. For years, it was, you want to pick Brady like everybody else. I'd love for Brady to come back, but that's a whole other topic. But again, I agree with you on the Tampa front. And I agree with you. I think, the Rangers, at some point are going to break through. That roster is too good. That core is too good. Shesterkin is too good. So they're another team. Before we get to the West, quick break in the action to tell you about my good friends over at Prize Picks. Prize Picks has something for every sports fan, from basketball and hockey to League of Legends and everything in between. You can pick LeBron, Caitlin Clark, Connor McDavid, and Jude Bellingham all in the same entry. Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states across the country, including California, Texas, and Georgia. Prize Picks even offers injury insurance so that your entries stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. For basketball games, if you have a player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second, Prize Picks will have your back and not count that as a loss. Personally, the NHL regular season, it's winding down, and when the postseason begins, I'm taking more on David Pastrnak point totals. How could you not? I'm expecting a pretty big postseason from one David Pastrnak. And with the Red Sox, how can you not do the same on Rafael Devers' home runs? Download the app today and use code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the Prize Picks app today and use code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Now, back to the show. So before we head out, the West, we don't discuss a ton of the West. They're way out there. They have they have some scary teams. Oh, yeah. Not so much the Pacific. I don't look at the Pacific as when I was looking at that, when I've been looking at those teams, I'm not as fearful of them. Vancouver's young. Maybe you disagree. Maybe you disagree with me. Vancouver needs some time. Vancouver needs some time. I look more at the Central. I look at Colorado.
You don't fear Edmonton or Vegas?
Vegas, sure. Again, you have Stone coming back literally right before we started recording this. They have all the acquisitions. Does St. Louis catch up to them? Probably not. But I do think Vegas, could be a sneaky kind of like wild card pick, kind of like Tampa. Edmonton, I just don't. I'm sorry. I'm not on the Edmonton bandwagon yet. To me, it's more Dallas, Colorado, and then I'll throw Winnipeg in there too, because they have Hellebuck is just on another level in net. So I'm curious what your take on the West is and who you think is going to come out of there.
I mean, it could be anyone. I've been saying all year the West runs through Colorado. I just think McKinnon, McCarr, Rantanen, and the depth they brought in at the deadline, and like Duhame, Walker, who else did they get? Blanket Middlestat, great pickup. This team is rock solid pretty much top to bottom. And the pace they play at, it's just there's only two teams where you watch and you look at them, and sure, they might not be like the best teams in the NHL technically, but the speed that Colorado and Edmonton play at because of those two guys, like, it is insane. And even on the back end, like, their blue line is so strong too. But, it wouldn't surprise me if Dallas comes out. Obviously, Dallas is very strong top to bottom as well. Not many holes there. And Ottinger can turn it on and easily be the best goalie in the NHL. All these teams like Edmonton, Dallas, and Colorado have been, pretty strong here toward the last like 20, 25 games of the regular season. And I think that's really important to look at. Winnipeg had a little bit of a skid, but, Hellebuck obviously can be another one to stand on his head. I'm still saying Colorado, just because I think Nate has had such an incredible year, and I'm sure they're a little bit bitter after a first round exit last year. It's just Georgiev's the biggest question mark, but that team in front of him is just unbelievable, and they're so fun to watch. So I would like to see Colorado get to the Cup final again.
I agree. I think Colorado has been outstanding this year. They're so fun to watch. Like, and it goes to Edmonton too. Like, whenever the Bruins play Edmonton, or I turn on a late game and Edmonton is one of the teams, it's awesome. Watching McDavid is the coolest thing. I will, completely hold to that. And obviously our boy Kale, that is, nothing beats watching Kale McCarr. I don't have a pick yet coming out of the West. I love Ottinger. I love what he's done in Dallas. I just like Vancouver and Edmonton. I just not around yet on, which again, I could be wrong, you know, but I think that's where like, I think Colorado and Dallas are a little bit tougher bets coming out of there. Do you have a cup pick yet or no? It's too early.
I mean, my preseason prediction was Edmonton. But I don't know if I feel so strongly about that. I'd like to see McDavid get there. I think it'd be cool. As we're talking right now, my brain has kind of angled toward a rematch of 2022, which is Colorado Tampa. And I'd be confident in saying that's my pick.
I don't think that's a bad pick. I don't. Yeah. I think Tampa is a team, as we discussed, that could easily do that. And Colorado's right there. I don't have one yet. I don't have one yet, which is no fun.
you're not going to have one until you have to. Yeah.
That's exactly
until
it, right?
Like matchups, it'll be a little bit harder.
Yeah. When I get put on the spot, I don't have one yet. I know this, Boston's not going to be in mine. The Bruins are not going to be in my Stanley Cup pick. I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry.
But they're winning the first round. Like,
yeah, I think they win the first round. I do. Mm-hmm. I do. Yeah. I have that feeling, which again, could easily be wrong. But I was definitely wrong last year. Did not.
Nobody
had that last year, so I guess I'll give myself that.
I actually think Emily Kaplan might have. I think she might have.
That'd be wild.
Yeah, I remember seeing one. I remember seeing one name at ESPN have Panthers in seven.
Because I know, like, what's funny is I remember seeing a lot of the national people not pick, or some didn't pick the Bruins to win the Cup, and I'm like, what idiots! Like, it's so obvious. And then, I mean, I you know. I get it now. We saw what ended up happening. But anyways, Johnny, what can the people look forward to from you? You're doing a lot of different things, a lot of good stuff. What can
Thank you. Just, you know, I'll plug the Morning Cup of Hockey show every Monday through Thursday, 9 to 10 a.m. on the Daily Faceoff YouTube channel. We have a lot of different guests come on, and we'll probably be talking a lot of playoff previews this coming week, obviously. But it's Colby Cohen and I, a Boston University legend, had the overtime winning goal in the national championship. I'm not going to give him any more credit than that. but yeah, we have a really fun time, different kinds of guests. And I'd say just tune into that. We have a live chat so people can chime in, ask questions. And it's a good, fun little communal show that we got going on.
It's a good show and it's good fun. And you're doing great work this year, Johnny.
Thank you, Evan. Appreciate it.
Thank you for joining. This has been great. We'll have to have you on again. Hey, if it's Bruins Rangers in the conference final, that'll be great.
I would love that.
Great for both of us. It would be a lot of fun. But anyways, that's been this week's episode of Bruins Beat, presented by Prize Picks. I'm Evan Marinofsky, Bruins Beat listeners. Have a great rest of your week.